This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
What a fabulous time of worship this morning. I absolutely loved it. Thank you, God. What I find exciting about worship, I have to restrain myself from standing on the chair. So, the thing is, when you see a 95-year-old in quite a few years' time standing on the chair and everybody's going, "What is that woman all about?" Then you could say, "Do you know what? She was snatched from the fires of hell by Jesus Christ into a life of light and love and a future." That's why Pat stood on the chair at 95, waving her arms and saying, "Yeah, praise the Lord," because he is the one who changes our lives. Amen. Just recently and down the weeks, Matthew and Tony and Chris have been giving us some excellent teaching on the kingdom of God. Excellent teaching. We have to go a long way to find such excellent teaching. And I do speak from many years of experience down the years that Paul and I have had. And we greatly appreciate them. I am not a teacher, but I like to share my heart on what I am seeing in Scripture so that it benefits you and I. That's right. For me as a housewife, for you as a student, for somebody as a grandma or a granddad. But that the realness of Scripture comes out. And I just thank God for, as I say, just for this wonderful teaching that we've had. And Matthew, the wonderful thing that Matthew has brought out, which has touched my life afresh, I should say, is the word cultivating. I love that word, cultivating. A working with, as Chris was saying the other week, we work with the Word.
That's right.
And it's all about his kingdom. I loved it when Matthew had said that, you know, we look upon the horizon and we see what the kingdom of God is all about. And yes, many of us have been snatched from the fires of hell. And it's only when you've known the scorching of the fires of hell around your feet and your lives, and you are absolutely in that place of destruction almost, and then someone comes and gives you their hand and says, "Come and meet Jesus," and yanks us out. As what I said before, that is what is important. That is why we sing his praises. I am no longer living in a place of darkness, but I am living in a place of light and of love. And I just want to tell, you know, I probably will, as you know me, tell a few stories. And one of them was, when I was a young woman at the tender age of 17, I worked for a construction company. Now, because I am the age that I am, we used to start work at 15. So I'd been working for this construction company for 2 years already as a telephonist receptionist. And one of the big treats of the year that all of us, who are quite a large office, would look forward to is when the company, the construction company who I worked for, would invite all staff from different regions to London. We would get on what was then, I don't know if they still have things like this, but the Pullman, which was quite a posh train in those days. We would all get on the Pullman train with great excitement and our weekend cases packed. Everyone had to wear evening dress. So the men had to go out and they had to hire the suits. The women just, it was like, well, let's look out for the most glorious, glamorous dress with lots of sparkles on. In those days, and we used to have feather boas. Do you remember those? Have you seen them in the old magazines? Feather boas. It was a fabulous time. The hotel that we used to be at and booked in, there was 500 of us booked in, was the Piccadilly. Now, I am talking about 51 years ago, folks. Half a century. But the Piccadilly was the hotel at that time for a lot of people. And our meal was at the Café Royal. Ooh! And if you've never been to the Café Royal in the centre, it is, or it was then, spectacular. We young girls, because there was a few of us who were 17, and then there was all the older typists and the bosses and things like that. And we would all go in, and it was winter, and we would go in with great excitement, and we'd come from the darkness into this light of the most fabulous place, the Café Royal. We were met with sparkling chandeliers. There was red carpet. There was the silver, the glinting of silver from the chandeliers. You're nodding, Jonathan. Have you been there? And the glorious amazement and wonder. And if you've ever been to any glorious palaces, you will be in awe. Well, this morning, I want to tell you that you are stepping into a place of awe and wonder. As Matthew has so well taught us, we are entering into the kingdom of God. And everything will be spectacular. Everything will be spectacular. Every chamber that we enter will be full of surprises. It's never boring in the Christian life. Every room we enter that God takes us through is always full of delight. It's always full of security. It's always full of love. And it's that entering in that God wants us to do this morning. And his kingdom covers every culture. It was interesting listening to Nikki was at the Rugging session that we had at our house yesterday, and we were talking about Christmas, and she was telling us about how the Nigerian people would not be really blessed if you cooked them turkey and sprouts and things, because that's not part of their culture. And so she started to tell us how the hot, fiery food is what they love. And it made me realise that God is so good. He brings us together. We are not all English in the whole world. Thank God. We need, you know, you may not realise if you come from another culture, but I can honestly speak from a personal experience. I need you in the kingdom. Because you can teach me something about, you know, how you do things that are differently to me. But the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God, and if you're a Christian today, is that we open up our Bible, and there we can together, as Matthew has told us, that we can explore. And today we are exploring the kingdom of peace. We are fortunate to live in a city where it is called the City of Peace and Reconciliation. Paul and I have only been living here for 18 months. I love Coventry. I make no bones about it. I love it. Do you know why I love it? Because God sent us from Yorkshire to Coventry. Another chamber of delight that I see with my eyes. I can go down a dirty, dusty street and I can see beauty. In amongst the dirt, when you look very carefully, you see a little flower growing. That little flower gives hope for those who are in despair. And God wants us to see that his kingdom is a kingdom of peace. So the beautiful word of cultivate, which Matthew has been telling us. Let's just turn to Psalm 34, if you would, please. Psalm 34, just a few. I'm not going to go through lots of scriptures today because we've got a lot in our program. Psalm 34:14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it.
Very good.
Matthew has been encouraging us, and so the other brothers, we cannot just stand there and let peace overflow over us. We have to work with it. And can I say, it's not always easy. When war is raging round about us. I mean, war meaning people. It could be family, friends, work colleagues. It can be all sorts of things which go against the kingdom of peace. But we search for peace and we work to maintain it. God never abandons us when he takes us from out of one kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God never leaves us to sort our own lives out. The beauty of the peace of God, which passes all understandings, means that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in every way. So when I was out in the darkness and I came into this beautiful Café Royal with the chandeliers and the glorious things, and I didn't know where the ladies' toilet was, you know, I had help because I didn't know the simplest things. And when we become a Christian, we're not aware of some simple things. And God is saying, I want you to have peace. Because on every road that I will take you down, I want you to know my peace. And in my peace, there is a calmness and it's full of love. And so this morning, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You and I are sons and daughters of God. Of course, sons does mean daughters as well, as we probably, as Matthew, the teacher, would probably tell us. But you and I are to act like the children of God. We really have to. We sang that song, the word of our testimony. And it's through the word of your testimony and mine that speaks to the world. And it's a strange thing that God chose the word to be called the sword. And we look in Scripture something about the sword that separates. And I've always liked the idea of a sword, actually. And I'm a little bit of a dramaist, secretly. Paul would probably tell you that I've been all our married life a bit of a drama queen. But the wonderful thing, when the sword, I love to see films where they have swords. And so when they swipe it out with such skill, they don't have to rant and rave. They just start to use it. The master, the professional, knows how to come in. He knows how to go in and to kill that which is not from God. You and I are to be skilled, as Matthew has told us, in the word of God. We are to take that. Now, although there's a sword that may appear to some people to be like a war weapon, in actual fact, the word of God does sadly separate families, culture, and religion. When you and I make a stand and say, I have become a Christian. Immediately, what do you mean you've come to know Christ? He's not arrived yet. And then I don't want to obviously mention any religion, because God loves the whole world, and you and I know that. But sadly, they are blinded by the fact that Jesus is the answer to everything. It's not war. It's peace. And he just wants you and I to know his peace in every situation. Every situation. The devil's kingdom is war and lies. But God's kingdom is peace. We fight with the sword. That is the word of God. There are many beautiful verses about peace and in our Bibles. And I encourage you to look up the word peace, as Matthew may have mentioned, on different sections which that the men have been bringing to us about the kingdom of God. And but you and I bring the qualities of God to earth by cultivating peace. God can take an impossible situation and turn it round with the work of the Holy Spirit within you and I. The sad thing is, you and I perhaps aren't as patient as what we would like to be. We want everything now. We can't wait for that husband. You know, if there's a young person wanting a husband or wife, maybe they can't wait. You know, is it ever going to come? You know, but God, or is that husband or wife going to become a Christian, or are my children, or whatever? But God is a God of patience and peace. He does not want you and I to be worrying and striving over war type situations when his answer to you is, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Now it's up to you, DIY, to work with that peace. It really is, because the peace of God again passes all understanding of the human brain. Why? Because the God of peace is supernatural. You and I are living in a kingdom of the supernatural. We can expect the supernatural to happen when prayers are made for sick people and we see that this person is healed. Sometimes things are taken longer to heal than others, but we have to know, be at peace. You could say, I have been prayed for 7,000 times, brother, and I'm still walking with this stick. Only 7,000 times. Maybe you need to do another 7,000. Because I can say to you today, the closer that you walk towards Jesus, you will be changed. You will be changed. Who cannot be changed when they are getting closer and closer to a God who is holy and has a holy kingdom? And he expects you and I to be holy and full of peace in his kingdom. Paul and I, we do see some wonderful, wonderful sights. It probably all happened after our children left home and went to university. Two of our children, our eldest son, got married. And we started to do cheap travel, really. So when I'm telling you about Sahara Desert, riding on a camel, I don't want you to think that way. You know, that's Paul and Pat. Wow. You know, but it was only a cheap holiday. But Paul and I went on camels to see the sun setting on the Sahara Desert. Wow. We were dressed up like you all had to do, only our eyes showing. Can I add, I was terrified on that camel because they're not very nice animals. They spit and growl and all these things. And I'm going, oh, Paul, I think I'm going to fall off. And it's like, going up these huge sand dunes and then we're coming down and it's like a white knuckle ride. And I'm terrified. And Paul's like, look at the sunset. Forget about what's going on. Look beyond the amazement of the desert. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going to fall off any minute. The thing was, God wants you and I to see there is a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture of glory. glory of his kingdom, the things to come. But at this time, when we're going on and over the hills of despair, he wants you and I to trust and be at peace, that all will be well if you trust him. Another occasion that Paul and I, to describe what peace can be like, we'd gone to an island of Skiathos, one of the Greek islands, a few years ago, and in the garden grounds of this hotel there was a fabulous hammock, the biggest hammock I have ever seen in my life, and it was like, wow, what a hammock. So as soon as we could, I thought, I'll have to struggle. We know what they're like with all the netting and the holes. So here I was, trying to be very ladylike, struggling to get in. And it was a struggle to get in, girls. Trying to get in there, managing to, oh, get on that. And Paul pushed me. So Paul's the ever faithful husband. Oh, thinking my wife ought to lose weight. Oh, you know, pushing it was on the string. But can I tell you, that feeling of peace was absolutely superb. It was that wonder of letting go and letting God. You and I will come across situations which might be warring on our head, and situations, there'll be exams, there's work, there's kids, there's college, there's university, there's a moving of the house, there's a new babies. Oh, it can all come to us. But God is saying, let go and let God. Let go. This Christmas time, Black Friday. Who ventured out on Black Friday? I would not even step out of our house on Black Friday. Because Black Friday, as you know, some people do say, it's our beautiful brothers and sisters over the pond have introduced Black Friday to us. Where's Hannah? We love America. And the thing is that, do you know, there is no peace in that shopping exhibition. It's I want that TV, and I will kill for it. Over the come, get that TV. People on the floor, falling all over. You've seen it on the TV, and that is not the peace of God, nor is it the peace of God that God expects for you and I as the children of God to experience. The thing is that peace affects our mind, it affects our body, it affects our soul. God's intentions are so clever. I often think, you are so clever, God. You amaze me that you're thinking about my mind being at peace, my body at peace, my soul being at peace, my family being at peace. Can I say that if you're married, then your home represents the church. Your home, whether you like it or not, represents the church. Now remember, before we start thinking, oh no, if you knew where I was living with these five students who are swearing every second word and this is the home where I am at the moment. Makes no difference. You are there as a representative of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of peace. Your life and mine is a place of peace that God intends to be. And again, that word, cultivating. We are cultivating. We haven't all arrived at that place of perfection. But God is asking us and helping us, the Holy Spirit, to be aware of the devil's craftiness to let your peace be disruptive. And we all know, I mean, at the moment, believe it or not, I have lost my checkbook. Now, some might say, Paul has stolen it. But he hasn't. He's getting near Christmas. But I have... When we go on holiday, there's certain things that are hiding places that I think no one will look for. The problem is, probably being at the age that I am, I forget where I've put them. And I can't find my checkbook. Now, my peace was being disrupted. It being disrupted because I think, where on earth is my... What have I done? I've been looking for it for a week and obviously I've prayed for it. But that peace started to be a bit... What if someone's got hold of that? And what if they're writing checks left and right and centre? I thought, I must tell Paul we need to cancel. We need to get onto that bank this next week and tell them to cancel it because I don't know where it is. The tendency is for us to lose peace. Mm. Hourly. Daily. Weekly, we've got to get into our head. God wants you and I to have peace, and the devil does not want you to have peace. He wants you to be arguing, 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 even if you know you're right. I'm not really looking at Paul. But the fact is, the peace of God passes all understanding. And Matthew has been, and Tony and Chris have been giving us some fabulous illustrations. My heart to you today is to say, look and search for that peace of God. I could go through loads of scriptures. I didn't think that was quite necessary today, Matthew, because you've done some, you and your dad and Chris have... You've used them all. Yes, as I've heard them, I thought, oh, all right, okay. But the fact I want you to say is that that place of peace, Christmas is coming. Der, 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 danger, danger. You know, wife, kids, der, 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 boss at work, parties. All this, you know, when all your friends say, come on, let's all go out and get drunk, and you're the only one who's a Christian, you think, well, we'll go out, but I won't be getting joining in with them. I always remember a great youth group that our daughter and son-in-law used to run. There was about 150 kids used to come for a few days. Okay, what do you used to call that thing, Matthew? You know... Empowered. It was called Empowered. My job just being there, because these were all sort of young teenagers, my job there was to look after their baby, Naya, our granddaughter, Naya, and I would stay there for the week. But I often used to love to creep outside the tent and just hear the preaching. And a lot of it was daring to be different. The challenge was thrown out. Daring to be different in a world that doesn't want you to be different. It wants you to dress half naked. Difficult for the men. Can I just say, my husband... Hey, that was Matthew Ling for the tape. Being naked. I remember our little Daniel, when we looked after Daniel a few years ago, and he was a lot younger then. I think he'd probably be very embarrassed if he heard this tape. But he was in our house and he was going, Grandma, Grandma, I'm naked. I know, just get into that bath, Daniel. I know. The world will say, I'm naked, look at me. But God's kingdom says we don't act like that. We really, really don't. And the biggest, and I'm just going to be finishing on this, folks, so we've not been that long. The biggest enemy for you and I is the flesh. It is the flesh. Daily, we need to die to pats. I once said to somebody, you know, the biggest trouble I have with someone... And they went, oh, I bet they were thinking, oh, this is going to be good from an elder's wife. We'll just take notes. It's Pat Sheffield. And I went, they said, this was in Yorkshire. And they said, what? I said, yeah, Pat Sheffield, I have more problems with her. Because It's the flesh that wants to do something. When my wonderful husband has put me right, when I want to go, you know, Paul has got this wonderful calming effect. And he has to use it a lot when I'm sort of getting passionate. Calm down. Calm, Paul. Just come calm. And I say, Paul, it's just passion. This is why I'm waving my arms in the air. You know, I could be Italian or something like that. It's passion, Paul. You know. And the thing is, it's if we are at war with the flesh. The flesh is telling us to do everything that is different to the kingdom of God. The flesh says, go back to the cesspits of Sodom and Gomorrah, and let's get back to those places. And oh, what a friend of mine once said to me, oh, so fed up, I could have gone out and bought a packet of cigarettes. Now, no, I stopped there very quickly because I once did smoke, and I'm not saying anything about people who might be smoking cigarettes. But the fact is that as you draw closer to Jesus, these things drop off. They drop off. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. And you and I should not be pointing any finger of accusation of any believer. But as we all know, as we point a finger to one person, there is three turning back at ourselves. Yes. That's very clever, isn't it? Whoever preached that about 100 years ago must have thought, wow. But the wonderful thing is, we mustn't point a finger of accusation. Because God is dealing with me and God's dealing with you. And he's dealing with us differently. And things are dropping off slowly. You know, I've had friends who have been, well, who like to drink, let's put it that way. My age as well. They would think of nothing of having a bottle or two each. And the thing is, when this particular person became a Christian, I had to gently, sort of gently, lovingly, because everything's full of love, bring her to a place where she knew that she's warring with the flesh. But God wants to give her peace. Yeah. And so the flesh, remember this, the flesh is at war. It will tell you to do things that perhaps you don't really want. But the Holy Spirit helps us. I won't read it all, but if anybody's making notes, there's a beautiful, it's in Romans, I think. Romans 8, it talks about the flesh, doesn't it, Matthew? I'm looking at the teacher. I can't write. It's in Romans 8. I know it's definitely in Romans 8, guys. And it talks about our war, really, with the flesh. And God, he just, here we go. Romans 8, 7 and 8. And it speaks about warring, the warring with the flesh, the dangerous flesh. So I just want to end saying that this kingdom that we are in, the kingdom of peace, is, and I'm just looking for this last scripture that I was asking my husband for. Like just a few little scriptures just to end on this here. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This Christmas time, bless those who persecute you. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. You and I have a very delightful inheritance. And peace rules supreme. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.